The weather, if not the economy, smiles on Lakeland. Avedine's Release 9 gets its TSO. And the guys at Aspen make steam gauges even more obsolete. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack in Lakeland, Florida. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, April 22, 2009. The annual Sun and Fun show here in Lakeland didn't have to endure any mud and scud jokes this year. Aside from winds that at times got a little stiff for the ultralights, the weather cooperated. Opening day crowds were characteristically light but steady. Tuesday normally features a list of manufacturers competing for the best times in the press tent. This year, there were actually holes in that schedule, and the announcements were more incremental than breakthrough. Then again, maybe the companies came to the same realization I did regarding the media tent. And that was that there wasn't going to be an awful lot of audio recording done at the media tent this year. They put this lovely generator right next to it. And it wasn't much better for video, although it would at least allow reading the lips of the briefer. Among the announcements which were made, Avedine briefed the press on news already reported last week on Aero News regarding the availability of the new Integra Release 9 for Cirrus and Piper PA-46 models. In a frustrating bit of timing, the company got notice from the FAA that Release 9 had received its TSO 10 minutes after the press briefing was over, and most reporters had left. Aero News was still there, and if you followed our website, you got the news just moments after Avedine did. I asked Avedine's Director of Marketing Communications, Tom Harper, if approval for more OEMs and retrofits will be coming.
We're currently targeting the installed base of Integra-equipped aircraft, and there's nearly 5,000 airplanes out there that already have Integra on them, and they're the first logical candidates to get to Release 9. We think that's really the first logical choice. Obviously, over time, we'll want to add other models and do a full retrofit program on a full AML.
You can hear lots more background from Tom on Avedine's recent resurgence in today's Aero News special feature. Aspen Avionics chose Lakeland to announce incremental upgrades for its Evolution flight display system, which provides a neat glass upgrade path for legacy steam gauge panels. A new mounting option will allow buyers to install the displays flush with the instrument panel, and support is being added for interfacing dual analog DME and ADF receivers. That's a request from European buyers and U.S. operators of Class 3 aircraft. A meatier bit of news was two new products projected for release in 2010. A new multi-tube dual AHARS version of the EFD-1000 will drive what may be a final nail in the coffin of mechanical gyros, eliminating their need for backup. Aspen also says it's developing an optional upgrade to allow the EFD-1000 to serve as an attitude reference source for autopilots. That's targeted at replacing the KI-256 used with many Bendix King autopilots. The company points out the target price of $5,000 will make the upgrade competitive with the cost of rebuilding the older instrument or buying a refurb. Aero News will have more on these new products as we move toward their release dates. In contrast to the recent announcement from Cirrus, the development of the company's SRS light sport aircraft will be entering a hold. Cessna emphasized yesterday that it remains committed to its 162 Skycatcher. The company has lost one prototype and had another damaged after two different test pilots had to bail out due to unrecoverable spins. Cessna says 500 spin tests have been performed in various configurations, and the data retrieved, along with more wind tunnel testing, will be evaluated before further spin tests are attempted. Up next on ANN, the FAA certifies Cirrus TKS for FIKI. Seawind rises yet again. And SAFE's new chairman greets visitors at Lakeland. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for for speech frequencies in extremely high noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back in Lakeland with more of your Aero Briefing for April 22nd. I'm Paul Plagg. The long wait for Cirrus Aircraft and its customers finally ended yesterday with the company's announcement at Lakeland that the FAA has approved the SR-20 and 22 models equipped with TKS Weeping Wing systems for flight into known icing, or FIKI. Cirrus says the system sends key operating and status information for display on the prospective MFD. TKS fluid capacity of up to 8 gallons allows de-icing for up to 2.5 hours based on pilot-selected flow rates. If fuel levels run low, the MFD displays cautions and increasing warnings. The application for approval was filed in January, and the company notes the FAA approval beat the anticipated 120-day expectation. Here's something you don't hear much of in today's economy. A company which was forced into hibernation has found the money to reorganize and resume development of an aircraft. A year and a half after a fatal crash involving a test pilot, which required the company to shut down operations, Seawind President Dick Silva tells ANN his company has reorganized and acquired the funding necessary to complete the certification of the sleek, high-performance amphibian. The crash came late in the development program. Silva claims a thorough investigation revealed there was no in-flight or other failure of the aircraft, and that as a result, the company set out to find investors. Quote, "It will take us about 3 months to complete the second test flight aircraft, which was about two-thirds finished when we ceased operations. We have a group of dedicated order holders. A number of them stepped up to the plate and invested in the company. We also have some very dedicated staff who are coming back to work and a large following of loyal supporters," unquote. This is not the first Phoenix story for this company. We'll keep you posted on how this chapter unfolds. The recently formed Society of Aviation and Flight Educators has a presence at Lakeland. It's the first major aviation event since the recent election of the group's first slate of directors. Doug Stewart, who's been our guest on the Aero News special feature several times since the evolution of the new organization began last October, has moved from being the group's official spokesman to being its first elected chairman. He's here at the show to spread the word. You can find more background in the text version of this story, dated yesterday, at aero-news.net. And you can find the guys from SAFE in outdoor display E56 this week at Lakeland Linder Regional Airport. Still ahead, GA High Flyers have a new choice in oxygen masks. Predator's Next Generation makes its first flight. And Jimmy's Raiders celebrate their famous anniversary. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back in Lakeland to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, April 22nd, with a quick thank you to Phyllis Kay for filling in for me yesterday while I was on airliners. I'm Paul Plack. A product being shown at Lakeland this week is a new medium-altitude oxygen mask made by Aerox Aviation Oxygen Systems. The company says it's the only manufacturer to produce such a mask and hold a TSO. It's certified for use up to 25,000 feet. The company announced the granting of the TSO by the FAA yesterday. Aerox says testing included evaluation of fit and leakage using 88 male and female subjects ages 5 to 75. In-flight testing was performed under the supervision of a physician and tracked parameters including blood oxygen saturation, heart rate, and a 12-lead EKG. The Predator UAVs serving missions around the world have raised expectations for unmanned aircraft and led some to speculate that the last human U.S. military pilots have already been born. General Atomics has released details of the rollout of the Predator B's faster, higher, more elusive younger brother. The company says the multi-mission jet-powered Predator C Avenger made its first flight April 4th over the company's Grey Butte Flight Operations Facility in Palmdale, California. The craft is said to have performed nominally, landed successfully, and was ready to go again after refueling. Additional test flights were made April 13th and 14th, and the program continues. The Avenger is designed to be more hardy against enemy fire and offer higher operational and transit speeds than the current generation. The craft can operate as high as 60,000 feet and as fast as 400 knots. And finally, thousands of people of all ages gathered to honor five of the nine surviving Doolittle Raiders at the 67th reunion in Columbia, South Carolina, Friday and Saturday. It was April 18, 1942, when the Doolittle Raiders, led by then-Lieutenant Colonel Jimmy Doolittle, made the first bomb attack on Japan following Pearl Harbor. Doolittle's co-pilot, retired Lieutenant Colonel Richard Cole, recalls, quote, "Early on, everybody thought leaving the flight deck of a carrier was the biggest challenge of the trip. As it turned out, it was the easiest thing, and I had a special advantage because I was sitting next to the best pilot in the world. I admire all of the guys. I especially admire the man I was sitting next to, a fine man and a great pilot," unquote. Some of the attendees commented that this would probably be the last time the Raiders would participate in a reunion in Columbia, South Carolina. The day will soon come when the last two remaining Raiders will toast their legacy with a bottle of 1897 cognac set aside by Doolittle for that occasion. Doolittle, given the man's accomplishments, his name is rich irony. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, part two of Jim Campbell's conversation with Avedine's Tom Harper. Learn about the new wrinkles the company plans to bring to enhanced and synthetic vision in Integra Release 10. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in Lakeland tomorrow. Have a clear and unlimited day.